brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, for the next 30 minutes, Ray McGovern is our guest. We're going to talk about Egypt. We're going to talk about the big news out of the Times of India and other publications. Bush fears arrest, scraps Swiss visit. It's funny, we were talking about this last night before I saw this news article this morning, because I ran into Karl Rove at a restaurant. And we were talking about, when are they going to arrest this guy for war crimes? How can Bush brag that he ordered torture? He said it again in two speeches last year. But then send people in the military to prison who were caught torturing. And we know that they've talked in Spain about indicting Cheney. You know, will Bush end up being locked up in the U.S. kind of like people like Ceausescu or in Romania? We're going to talk about all of that, or Pinochet of Chile. We're going to talk about all of that with Ray McGovern today. Ray, great to have you on with us.
Thanks, Alex.
Oh, and I probably should introduce you. You're a former military man from the Vietnam era, and then, of course, you were the top presidential briefer to Ronald Reagan, George Herbert Walker Bush, and you've been a big critic of the lies about WMDs and famously confronted Rumsfeld. He tried to lie and say that he hadn't said that, and you certainly skewered him there, and you've done so much more. But thank you for coming on with us. Let's briefly get into the situation in Egypt.
Well, Alex, there's an elephant in that living room, and the name of the elephant is Israel. And surprise, surprise, no one in this country is talking about it. This is an incredible blow, not only to the United States, but to Israel. They had depended on having a very safe frontier with Egypt since the accord where Egypt recognized Israel. And that's a long time ago, and they had taken it for granted. And all of a sudden, whoa, their strategic calculations are upset by this popular revolt in Egypt. So the real question is, what will the Israelis do? Now, you know, people will say, well, they can't do anything. They'll sit back and watch what happens. Right. That's not the way they operate. Number one, they'll operate through their, well, how shall I say, their supporters here in the United States, and this is one main reason why Hillary Clinton and our president have been waffling for the last week or 10 days, not knowing whether to say, you know, Mubarak needs to get out, or, oh, maybe you can deal with this vice president who's a well-known torturer. You know, it's really been painful watching the to's and fro's, and the unspoken, the factor that can never be spoken on mainline TV is what this means to the Israelis and how Israeli supporters in this country are putting the screws on Barack Obama again to make sure that he doesn't do anything that will make that part of the world still riskier for Israel.
And now the LA Times reports a bunch of U.S. ships are steaming into the area, and on top of that, we're getting reports that Marines are being deployed into Egypt. They claim for evacuations. Do you buy that?
No, I don't buy that. I think the Marines want to be prepared to follow orders, as they always do. I don't think that the U.S. personages are in any danger. There may be a backup at the airport, but none of the protesters have said they're going to do any harm to U.S. officials or tourists who remain there. So this is a pretty ominous thing. I hadn't gotten confirmation about these Marine moves, but that's what Marines do. And if Mubarak decides to make a last stand, he'll be supported not only by Marines from our country, but by all manner of support from Israel, which knows how to do this, by the way, and are only a stone's throw away.
Well, we've had the British go into Suez in the past, and it is the Business Insider reporting on the Marine situation. But if they admit they're sending ships, would Marines go along with that? And that's who comes off the ships.
Yeah, it depends on what kinds of ships, of course. They can always justify the ships by ostensible danger to the Suez Canal. We'll have to see how that plays out, because I don't think the administration here knows what it's doing.
No, Ray, stay there. Let's finish up with Egypt, then get into Bush arrest fears.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath the Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
All of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make a check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one, because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com, one of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish and M10 gas masks are $3 for $30. And Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
That's right. The United States has been captured by big offshore corporations that are totally ruthless. All over the world, these multinationals have funded dictatorships, corrupt bureaucracies to basically feed on top of their populations. And the people are rebelling in Egypt. The establishment obviously recognized that and has said that they are funding the opposition, I guess, so they are still in control if Hosni Mubarak is forced out sooner than September. And Ray McGovern, of course, top CIA analyst to Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. He was also in the military during the Vietnam War. And we always appreciate him joining us. He's made a lot of really accurate predictions. I remember about a year and a half before it happened, he said, well, I would look for Cheney and the neocons to try to stage a Gulf of Tonkin situation to get into war with Iran. Then about a year later, that happened. And then a year after that, we learned that it had been a staged event. So just amazing. And so we need to listen up when he tells us what he thinks is really going on in Egypt and where he thinks the situation is going, what's happening with these pipelines going, these gas pipelines into Jordan and Israel being blown up, what the overall geopolitical ramifications are, and not just briefing presidents. He's now briefing us. Tell us again what's going on in Egypt.
Well, Alex, it's very, very complicated. The main factor really is that the broad public support, the revolutionaries or the uprising people, are numerous, but they seem to lack a coherent leadership. The only bright light there is El Baradei, the former chief UN inspector, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, who has wide respect abroad as well as in Egypt, a reluctant draftee, so to speak, but he has said that he would be willing to lead now and form an interim government. So that's the good news. The bad news, of course, is that for Israel and the United States, El Baradei is poison. Why? Because, oddly, this statesman insists on telling the truth. He was the one that has said all along that there is no real evidence that Iran is working on a nuclear weapon. And he should know. His inspectors are crawling all over that country. And he was the one, you may recall, back in March or April of 2003, who testified, or is watching it live, I'll never forget it, testified before the UN Security Council and said, you know those reports that Iraq was seeking yellowcake uranium from Niger, we have looked into it, and in 2 days we found that they are not authentic. Not authentic. They were forgeries. Forgeries by, I think, Dick Cheney's folks. So the guy is poison. The U.S. tried to get him removed from his post in the IAEA without success. So where does that leave us? Well, that leaves us with a very fearful Israel, stoking up fears in the United States about these Muslims, you know, these Muslim terrorists that could take over Cairo, which is a red herring. They're never going to do that in Egypt. Egypt is a country of 80 million people. You know, the rest is small fry. Egypt is so big that Israel, I think, will have to determine what it's going to do. And what it's going to do frightens me because it has all kinds of possibilities, including, well, let me put it this way, Alex. If I were El Baradei, I would insist on a whole platoon of soldiers and bodyguards around me rather than just the 10 that exist now.
Now, Ray, what's the stratagem of disinformation then, having the AP, the London Telegraph, come out and say that the U.S. is behind El Baradei and basically triggered this? Is that an attempt, knowing that if the West and Israel claim that El Baradei somehow works for them, that that will discredit him at home in a country tired of foreign domination through the propped-up dictator Hosni Mubarak, who Cheney is calling a great guy and a good man who we should respect?
Yeah, Alex, if I were, you know, giving references for a job, I don't think I'd include Dick Cheney on my reference list. Yeah, that speaks volumes, doesn't it? Cheney thinks he's a great guy. Your initial point was having to do with, I forget now.
Claiming that El Baradei is backed by the U.S.
Yeah, well, you know, there's all kinds of disinformation campaigns out there to discredit somebody like El Baradei, and you can be sure that we have our, quote, assets, end quote, in some of the more conservative newspapers and magazines in Britain and elsewhere, and so you can expect them to sow all kinds of confusion. The Egyptian people know what El Baradei is and what he isn't, and that's what counts here. The only problem is getting organized to the point where they can actually face into the new vice president named by Mubarak, who, by the way, is the CIA and Israeli checkpoint, their liaison guy. Not only that, but he was the fellow in Egypt that handled the transfer of people that we wanted to get tortured. Renditions is what we call it, the kind of nice sobriquet. Renditions, and there was one particularly flagrant rendition, and this is worth recalling to mind. The fellow's name was Al-Libi because he came from Libya, okay? And he had some sort of job with the training camps for Al-Qaeda. It seems that he was sort of like their travel agent. You know, he would arrange air tickets for people who want to come in and train. He wasn't anywhere near close to Osama bin Laden or Zawahiri or the others. But they caught him, okay? And then, before the war, the premium was on getting somebody to, quote, confess end quote, that Saddam Hussein was training al-Qaeda operatives in unconventional weapons, okay?
Now, yeah, in the fake airplanes, and it turned out none of that was true.
Yeah, right. So here you got al-Libi, and he won't, quote, confess, end quote. And so they take him to they send him off to al-Suleiman, the current Egyptian vice president. And they say, you know, you guys are better at this than we are. What we need to do is make sure we find out that Saddam Hussein was training al-Qaeda operatives, and Libby knew that because he was running the travel agency. And guess what, Alex? You'll never guess what. But the Egyptians succeeded in doing that. The cable went back to Washington. The next day, the president, the vice president, and later Colin Powell before the UN spun this tale as proof that sotto voce, Saddam Hussein had some sort of tie with 9/11 because he was training al-Qaeda operatives.
And that is only one of the thousands of admitted crimes and lies and deception. Shifting gears, because we don't have a lot of time left with you, Ray, let's go back to who was involved at this time. Bush, Cheney, Karl Rove, the architect, Alberto Gonzalez, putting out memos so they could torture people, including crushing children's genitals. And now Bush came out last year and in two different speeches and his book said, I'd order torture again. So this is admittedly illegal. There have been calls for at least Karl Rove or Alberto Gonzalez or John Yoo to be brought up on war crimes. But now we have the Times of India and other publications reporting Bush fears arrest, scraps Swiss visit. He was set to give a keynote address and had agreed to do it, has now canceled the February 12th speech. Before we get into this, recapping the international admitted crimes that were committed here, the lies of WMDs, the Downing Street memo, the White House memo. I was at a restaurant last night, and Karl Rove sat down right next to us here in Austin, and I just couldn't eat. We got up and said, I'm not eating in the same room with somebody like Hitler, and we left. It was a private place, so I didn't want to start screaming at him in there. But do you think I handled that right? What would you have said to him?
Well, what I would have done, Alex, is call Code Pink right quick. They have handcuffs, and they have courage, the courage that continues to amaze me. They have tried to arrest him at his book signings, and what needs to happen is somebody needs to put the cuffs on him because he can be extradited and subjected to justice. Our government doesn't have the guts to do it, but the Spaniards, the French, the Germans, they all may under the principle of universal jurisdiction, which briefly means that if the government who is harboring these criminals is unwilling to proceed against them in a legal fashion, then under the Convention Against Torture, any government can initiate judicial proceedings. Now, that's why George Bush, and this is really amazing, we have word late Friday night that George Bush had canceled out of this appearance in Geneva scheduled for February 12th. And we learned from the Center for Constitutional Rights that they and their European counterparts had assembled 2,500 pages worth of indictment on George Bush and were ready to serve it to the prosecutor in Geneva. Now, this is serious stuff.
You're separately here on air. All we've got is a blurb in the Times of India. You're confirming that indeed this did go on and you have the bona fides.
Yeah.
Please continue.
We've been in touch with the Center for Constitutional Rights. It almost worked. Someone leaked the fact that this thing had been given to the prosecutors in Geneva. And what Bush did was cancel right away. Now, the White House or the Bush spokespeople are saying, well, now he had heard that there would be demonstrations and he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to burden the Swiss police. Well, balderdash. What he was afraid of was getting detained and actually brought to the Hague for trial. Now, unless people think that this is far-fetched, this happened before. On October 26, 2007, again, the Center for Constitutional Rights, a really gutsy organization, filed a petition with the prosecutor in Paris. Donald Rumsfeld happened to be in Paris at the time. These things need to be taken seriously. Witness the fact that Don Rumsfeld went out the back door of the embassy, drove off to Orly Airport or De Gaulle Airport, and was on the first plane back to the United States, canceled all his appearances. So, you know, the sad thing is that Obama doesn't have the guts to do the right thing.
Well, Ray, stay there. Let's continue to look at this on the other.
This is not a drill.
Repeat,
this is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step, battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your own family. Now, this man has made some outrageous predictions over the years. The crazy part is, he's usually right. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. Recently, he created a video, which you can watch online for free, detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet, and it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com. Watch the free video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
The five main steps to great health are detoxification, an alkaline pH, elimination of infections, optimal hormone levels, and renutrification. When all these factors are brought into play, then your body is supported to create radiant health. Of all the nutrients needed by the body, protein plays a dominant role. The type, quality, and digestibility of that protein plays a key role in how good you feel on a day-to-day basis. Of all the proteins that nature offers, one is the most digestible and offers the most benefits for the most people. It is unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is the first ever unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. It is easily digested and comes in three delicious flavors. Whether you want better energy, better blood sugar, more endurance, or clearer thinking, One World Whey is a must for you to try. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Go to Affinity SEA Energy.com today.
Ray McGovern, former top CIA analyst, will be with us another 15 minutes, and I promise I'll get to all these mainstream media reports dealing with pole shift. People keep wanting me to talk about it. Paul Watson's written a big article, pole shift threatens to cause weather chaos. That's what NASA and people are saying. Fox News reporting they're having to recalibrate airport GPS. It's pretty strange. So I'm going to give you my take on it coming up after Ray leaves us. Ray, I think it's so important here for those that don't know the history or those that might have forgotten it, to recap briefly all the different war crimes. I mean, the knowingly lying about WMDs, the ordering of torture, the secret arrest, the the rendition, the White House memos, where the president is above the law. I mean, Nixon tried that, saying when it's the president breaking the law, it's not illegal. That was proven to be a fraud. If they are able to operate and set the precedent of doing this, and we know Obama's continuing the rendition, then there is no Bill of Rights. There is no Constitution. But worse than that, we are tyrants because we're allowing it to happen. And absolutely, you know, by pointing out that that's probably why Bush has bought all that land in Uruguay or whatever, that they are criminals, that begins to put the idea in people's minds that they must be brought to justice. But briefly, recapping the crimes of these people.
Well, you know, how much time we have.
We've got about 5 minutes, but and then we'll come back.
Yeah, I jest, of course, because you could go for 45 minutes just listing them. As Dennis Kucinich, to his great credit, did do 35 articles of impeachment. He read them. It took 6 or 7 hours on the floor of the House, but he did that. They're on the record. You can get them from warisacrime.org. You know, the ones you mentioned are the more obvious ones. Also, starting a war of aggression, which was banned after World War II in numerous international documents. But, you know, one of the things that toward the end, I think it's Article 33 and 34, that talks about his, at best, his complete incompetence in handling the intelligence information that was available before 9/11. Now, that was criminal. That was malfeasance, not just misfeasance. And then the lying about what he was told. Now, not many people know that George Tenet, the head of the CIA, lied under oath during the 9/11 commission proceedings when one of the congressmen on the commission asked him, George, what did you say to the president during the month of August 2001? And he said, oh, I had no contact with the president. I never saw him. I said, well, how about the telephone? No. He was on, you know, he's down in Crawford, and I was on, you know. Well, it turns out that Tenet saw the president on the 17th of August and on the 24th of August and on the 31st of August. So he lied under oath. His statesman or his spokesman a little while later said, oh, yeah, he erred. But that's what was on TV. Why did he err? Because Tenet, however incompetent he was, did tell him about that threat that Islamic terrorists were learning to fly airplanes. He followed up on the president's daily brief item. And so there's lots in those indictments that just show that the president and those who served him, first and foremost, the sycophant George Tenet, lied under oath. And you know, there are lots of things that were in the articles of impeachment against President Nixon, three articles, which are also very operative under Bush. The difference is that John Conyers had some guts back in the 1970s. John Conyers is now an old part of the establishment and didn't want to risk Democratic gains in the by-election of 2006.
And, of course, going back, though, to the Condoleezza Rice memo, where they said, we didn't hear of plans to fly planes in the buildings. And then it turned out bin Laden determined to attack, and that the FBI memos even said fly planes into the World Trade Center. So they lied about that. They knew, and they stood down.
Yeah, they didn't do anything. Now, the charitable explanation is that they were just completely incompetent. There's lots of reason to believe that there's a more sinister explanation, but none of them, to my, you know, my investigative mind, are conclusive just yet. The other thing that needs to be mentioned, of course, is that there is a memorandum released by Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, which shows that George Bush on the 7th of February, wow, it's the anniversary, isn't it?
Yeah.
The 7th of February, 2002, approved torture. What he said was, we don't have to obey the Geneva Conventions. We will treat prisoners, quote, what was the words he used? Quote, humanely, as appropriate, and as consistent with military necessity, period, end quote. That's not what Geneva says. The president can't just prescind from Geneva, and that's what he did.
And then we got the more detailed memos where they talked about what can we do. Well, we can bury people alive, yeah. We can torture children in front of their parents, yeah. Ray McGovern, stay there. I want to talk about where this is going with an American president not able to travel to Europe. This is a big deal. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Then I'm getting into the other big news item.
We're on the march.
The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
They all laughed when I told them my body cleansing tonic was tea. But after 10 days, my body feels way more energized, and I've lost nearly 15 pounds. They're not laughing now.
That's what John from Oklahoma said about Life Change Tea.
In the 6 months of being on the tea, all my digestive problems have cleared up. My energy levels have gone way up, and my constipation problems are no more.
And that's what Michelle from California said about Life Change Tea from GetTheTea.com, the amazing all-natural tea that cleanses your body from toxins, chemicals, bacteria, viruses, and molds, while helping to lower high blood pressure, high cholesterol, lower blood sugar levels, and help you lose weight. Life Change Tea has no caffeine and is all natural, all organic. Go to GetTheTea.com today or call 928-308-0408. That's GetTheTea.com or call 928-308-0408.
Life Change Tea really changes things.
They helped to create a new world order.
We are part of a new world order.
A new world order based upon collective action.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the globalists through their own words and documents.
The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
It means all the world under their control.
The United Nations would take over America. The Trilateral Commission would control the world.
Invisible Empire chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
Global governance with the establishment of the G20.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
Invisible Empire. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Or watch it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
I will stand in line for this. There's always room in life for this.
Elmi Prinz is a journalist and senior fellow at Demos, and we're going to be talking to the best-selling author here in just a moment. She's an insider Goldman Sachs whistleblower, and we're honored to have her. But I said I'd play this clip. This is Barack Obama during the campaign. He said it many times. So did the Vice President Biden, that they wanted to bankrupt power plants in America. Meanwhile, they're not pressuring China, who builds a whole bunch of them, you know, every month, to have any controls on theirs. And now we're having rolling blackouts because of this. And we have the article, Obama's blocking of new power plants triggers nationwide blackouts. And the big issue here is insiders at GE, now heading up his economic council, the former head of GE, they get waivers from all this. So it's another unfair trade advantage, just like insiders getting waivers from having to buy health insurance for their employees like McDonald's. I mean, this is mafia government, where you get the favors from the mafia government. That's why they want to have authoritarian control, nothing to do with environmentalism. So here is that clip of Obama saying he wants to bankrupt power plants. That is an act of war, of economic sabotage. But that's what Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and GE, these guys are all about, using government to shut down their competition so they can vertically integrate markets. Here's the clip. So
if somebody wants to build a coal-powered plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them because they're going to be charged a huge sum for all that greenhouse gas that's being emitted.
Now, Obama was not drunk there. Our computer played it in slow time for some reason, but it's only a 13-second clip. We're gonna try to play that clip for folks one more time, but you can just search Obama says he'll bankrupt plants. You'll see many other clips of him online in different speeches. Here it is.
So if somebody wants to build a coal power plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them because they're going to be charged a huge sum for all that greenhouse gas that's being emitted.
Okay, there you go. They're going to bankrupt them. Now, this dovetails with what Naomi Prinz has been talking about. And, of course, her latest book is It Takes a Pillage, Behind the Bonus, Bailouts, and Backroom Deals from Washington to Wall Street. And, of course, she's also the author of Other People's Money, The Corporate Mugging of America. She wrote that 6.5 years ago in October of 2004, a devastating expose into corporate corruption, political collusion, and Wall Street deception. That's why the big mega banks and the insiders want big government, because they can shut down their competition. Before becoming a journalist, Naomi worked in Wall Street as a managing director at Goldman Sachs and running the International Analytics Group at Bear Stearns in London. Her writing has appeared in the New York Times, Fortune, Newsday, Mother Jones, The Daily Beast, Newsweek, Slate.com, The Guardian UK, The Nation, American Prospect, Alternet. The list goes on. And NaomiPrinz.com is her website. Links to that up on Infowars.com. It is great to have you here with us, Naomi.
Well, it's great to be on the show, Alex. I've been listening to you for a long time, and it's really great to be on. Thank you.
Well, we're honored to have you. You heard me just getting into the power plants being shut down that aren't insiders with the government. That pretty much integrates with what you've been talking about this rigged, planned, insider, crony capitalist system. What's your take before we get into the larger issues on these power plants being shut down from Georgia to Texas and now blackouts everywhere?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, that what we're talking about, what he was talking about, is that if you don't have the money to effectively create your own loophole and work it out with the government, as one of the larger power companies like GE, then you're going to not be able to operate. And as a result, it consolidates the power, pun intended, into a handful of a few companies, which is pretty much how corporate America works. We are a nation in which the corporations have continued to merge, have continued to consolidate power and therefore control and access to government and collusion with the government in order to, yes, get rid of competition and also control markets. And whether those markets are with power or those markets are with finances or those markets are with loans to homeowners, it's all really part of a system where companies really not just control but are gaining every day more control over all the things that touch our lives.
Absolutely. And this is a rigged system, and that's what the globalists admit at Davos. They want is a global system they control, where they control the rules for their advantage. And from my perspective, it's purely a mafia tactic. What would you call this system?
Well, it is. You know, you talk about the mafia as say extracting money from various small businesses in order to have garbage pick up, you know, in front of their businesses, and then the list, of course, goes on and on. But you're effectively they're extracting income in order to basically control a certain set of practices. And the United States government does really the same thing, except it goes through the form of lobbyists and campaign contributors. So basically, the bigger a company is, the more they can pay for lobbyists, the more they can pay for lawyers, for accountants, for everyone else to not just create laws, but get around laws and find their own loopholes and basically suggest laws that have loopholes in them for them to use, and they have the funds to do that. And, you know, we still have a system where the Supreme Court is fine with that. Recently, confirm the fact that they're fine with campaign contributions coming through corporations. Obviously, lobbyists are going in and out of Washington, and in many instances, like with the head of GE now, they don't even have to, it's not even really an issue. They're just on the advisory board of the Obama administration, and it's not just the Obama administration, of course, it's any administration, so just the one that's currently operating. And that's really how the money not just gets consolidated on the profit of these companies, but gets used to infiltrate our laws, create their own loopholes, and facilitate their own future profits because of that.
Naomi, I could talk to you as a former Goldman Sachs managing director for 10 hours. There's so many things to discuss. But on your radar screen right now, I saw you on Max Kaiser a few days ago. It's actually going to air tomorrow, but he played an exclusive clip here of you basically saying, yeah, this is insider trading just with the, or borders on it, with the Facebook Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan deal. There's a lot of different deals that are going on right now. But what is most important on your radar screen that you want to warn people about, you know, being somebody who's been an insider and really knows how things work?
Well, I think yeah, you mentioned the Facebook deal, and that's only important because it just demonstrates how Goldman Sachs, after having created itself into a bank holding company, basically the type of a bank that is supposed to administer deposits for its customers, to provide loans for its customers, those customers not being millionaires, of course, but being regular individuals, which aren't the customers of Goldman Sachs. However, the name of it as a bank holding company, which it became in the fall of 2008, enabled it to have federal support from the Fed, from the Treasury Department, from the FDIC, and enabled it to carry on its trading with our support, with our federal support, which it should not be doing. And that's just an example of how a company uses the government when it needs the government in terms of funding it at the brink of a bankruptcy, which it stood at in the fall of 2008, and then says, you know, the heck with you guys. We're just going to go offshore, do what we want, raise money for our private deals, and if the SEC is going to ask us questions, we're just going to take them offshore and go somewhere where we don't have any questions because those questions are annoying. They get in the way of us, you know, raising fees and gaining our profits, and we're just going to go around. And so you have this global system which enables companies like Goldman, like Morgan Stanley, like J.P. Morgan, like any international conglomerate to find the place where the regulations are going to be weakest for that particular deal, that particular day, that particular practice in which they are going to be involved. And that's really a big problem with the system. Right now, for example, in Egypt, one of the things that I was looking at, and I'm by no means a Middle Eastern scholar, so I preface this with that, but a lot of the more recent economic problems that Egypt and other countries in the Middle East have been due to the fact that they have pursued opening their borders to international speculators and international capital and international banks buying up portions of their land and portions of their financial system. And, of course, when international capital comes into a country, it's there for a bet. It's there for a short time. It's there to find the best hot deal, and it leaves as soon as it's not making a good return on it staying there. And that's what's happened to a large extent in Egypt in particular. Egypt was one of, according to the World Bank and the International Financial Corporation, which operates with the World Bank, one of the top 10 what they call reformers. Reformers to them are not reforming their country's economics for their citizens. They mean reforming their borders to allow speculative capital to come in and go out as freely as possible. And it was in their top 10 last for 10 list for 4 out of the last 5 years. And the results, of course, when the worldwide depression started, is that the money that came in equally left as quickly, if not more so, leaving a lot of further economic devastation to the citizens of that country in its wake. And then that's besides the corrupt dictatorship and the regime that has been there for 29 years. But this is really the more recent effect of this global domination of international capital to like just find itself wherever the borders are most amenable to that.
Nomi, you talk about the worldwide depression. I've had countless other prestigious economists on, and they've agreed that even Stiglitz 2-3 years ago, Nobel Prize winner, admitted we were going into a depression. By every yardstick, unemployment is 20%+ here, 30% in California. The government lies and says it's 9.6, 9.7. You know, as somebody who's been inside of the heart of Goldman Sachs, who's since then written and researched this, from your research, what's the real state of the world economy, and where are we headed?
The real state of the world economy is that individuals are finding themselves less able to make a living if they had a living and falling into the poverty levels of their respective countries more and more quickly. And that's a direct result of trading and of bank capital and hedge funds and private equity funds finding spots and sort of pillaging them, to use the term of my book, but really pillaging whole economies for whether it's commodities, whether it's to churn a population into shady loans and to package those loans up into toxic assets and leave the waste to the Federal Reserve and the rest of the country. Those are things that the financial industry in particular, and the financial industry is part of every other industry. I mean, I focus on banks having been inside of banks, but there's no company, there's no large conglomerate that doesn't work with the large financial institutions to find ways around paying taxes, creating long, sustaining jobs in the areas into which they infiltrate, because there's no need for them to do so. And so the state of the world is really captive to that type of international financial strategies that continue to get worse. And that's why, you know, you see in the Middle East, all of those countries have on record somewhere between 10 and 16% unemployment. But just like the United States, where we have on record, as you said, 9.4% right now unemployment, that does not in any way capture the underemployment, the jobs that are not sufficient to even cover health care or rent or rising costs of food and other types of commodities, because they just don't stretch as far, even when people have them. And so, you know, if you look at the underemployment statistics, they're in double digits and rising. And that, coupled with the squeezing of prices and any type of commodity and any type of financial service or any type of service throughout the world, has the effect of squeezing people financially even further. And there's no barriers to that. The depression, the worldwide depression that started with, you know, what we call the crisis of 2008 was something that was really building up for many years for individuals not seeing jobs, seeing prices get too high.
Well, that's right. You predicted it in your 2004 book, and there's a method to this madness. These big central banks, who, of course, the shareholders are private central banks and families and shareholders, they are openly dollar devaluing worldwide, knowing that that would cause record food prices that then puts pressure on countries like Egypt. And then they offer the solution, now admitting that they sent in Al-Baradei to start the revolt 2 weeks ago. So back when Stiglitz quit in 2002, we got those thousands of pages of IMF and World Bank documents that BBC reported on. And right there they said, once we get a country under our control, then we further bankrupt them, then there's riots, then that destroys confidence, then we can come in and buy up things even cheaper. Right. And so they have a real stake in the pillaging, putting the populations under their control into a servile position so they can come back and pillage them and basically in a mercantile neo-colonial way conquer them. What's the mindset of a Goldman Sachs? What's the mindset of these pillagers? What's their end game strategy? Because now they're saying they openly want world government, a new global cashless currency that all of their currencies are denominated in, run by private central bankers.
Well, that's the private central banks are the friends of the international private banks, because they allow for easy funding to trade, and the motive for everything Goldman Sachs does is purely profit. It's not obviously doing God's work. It's not trying to create jobs. It's not trying to stick around in regions and actually have a fair economic system, meaning fair for the population of those particular regions. It's in to get a good deal, and it's in to get out, really, as soon as it can possibly do so, as soon as it's churned whatever that good deal is. I mentioned in a recent piece, actually I think on my blog, about, for example, in early 2008, when things were really getting obviously bad with the subprime lending and toxic asset creation on the back of that here in the United States, that there were UK arms, for example, of Goldman Sachs buying up pieces of luxury real estate developers in Egypt, you know, sort of trying to squeeze at that particular moment the last drops of what was the end of a real estate speculation boom, which will reboom again, but which now is in its lower stages. And so that's the mentality. Mentality is, where can I go? Where can I trade? Where can I get investors and fee them to trade with me in order to make as much much as I can, as fast as I can.
And they're doing this.
Thought to what happens in the wake of that.
Where do you see the derivatives bubble going? Because there's no way to get rid of that black hole, but they've sold us on this too big to fail. So now they've tied the treasure, the pensions of the entire world to their Ponzi scheme.
Well, and not only that, the financial reform bill, and I loosely use the term reform, it's not a reform bill, but the thing that passed in Congress and was signed by President Obama last summer to supposedly reform the banking system and does absolutely nothing remotely of the sort. It's just very, very many pages of a lot of legal banter back and forth, all of which can have holes poked in it really, really quickly. I mean, I can poke a hole in almost any line in that reform bill without even having a staff of lawyers. But one of the things that it was supposed to do, for example, is create a clearinghouse or a place where derivatives would trade out in the open, would be transparent. But all the loopholes related to that said, well, yeah, we want them to be transparent and trade on clearinghouses, but we forgot to mention that 96% of the clearing activity of the place where these transactions are pen and inked or basically transferred are owned by the top five banks in the United States. They're owned by J.P. Morgan. They're owned by Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs owns one of the largest clearinghouses or portion of that in the world.
Naomi, stay there. We're going to come back and continue along that line and ask you the question, where's it all going?
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your own family. Now, this man has made some outrageous predictions over the years. The crazy part is, he's usually right. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. Recently, he created a video, which you can watch online for free, detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet, and it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica, the number 3.com. Watch the free video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Don't forget, right now we're fighting the complete takeover of our energy infrastructure by the insider globalists. The article at Infowars.com. Obama agenda to bankrupt power plants triggers blackouts. Get it out to everybody. Google search term, Obama triggers blackouts. We got to fight back against this. We're talking to Nomi Prinz of NomiPrinz.com, best-selling author, latest book, It Takes a Pillage, Behind the Bonuses, Bailouts, and Backroom Deals from Washington to Wall Street. Wall Street has been lobbying for domestic police states. They lobby to put dictators in worldwide. They basically, you know, want to secure their ill-gotten gains. They want to make us pay off their derivatives. I was talking to, during the break. I mean, you agree that we're basically, by every measurement, really are in a depression?
Yeah, I think we are. And by the measurements that matter to individuals, by the measurements that entail getting jobs or keeping jobs that enable one to afford life, by being able to afford whether it's health care or food or oil or whatever it might be, there's such a chasm between the haves and the have-nots, and that's not been something that hasn't existed in our world before. It's just that more recently, and particularly since the economic crisis spouted in 2008, in the fall of 2008, it's gotten worse. And the reason it's gotten worse is because there's this external veneer of a recovery. There's an external veneer that says, well, the stock market's up. Well, the stock market across the stock markets across the world are up. GDPs are increasing. All, and GDPs, by the way, are generally measured, particularly for our country, a substantial measure, and it has to do with financial services. So the creation of this sort of on-paper wealth drives how we consider our recovery and other countries consider their recovery to be.
But only the mega bankers are making the record bonuses. The only sector that's showing the big profits is the banksters because they're the parasite.
They're the parasite. They're those services. They're the purveyor of why markets go up, why profits from corporations go up. It's all related to what happens with the banking sector. I mean, it's the kernel of all of this worldwide because, you know, they all operate worldwide. But on the flip side are people's real economies. On the flip side is not being able to make ends meet. On the flip side is wages being worth less than what they were 35 years ago. So there hasn't been an increase for those people.
You predicted a lot of what happened 6 years ago in your first book because you were an insider. Where do you see things going? Because it's clear they're not going to change course, even if the world's revolting against them. How do you see it ending?
I honestly think it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. When I left the industry and rolled other people's money in 2004, and credit derivatives were a tiny speck on the financial speculation screen, and CDOs were tiny, but they were murky, and they were leverageable, and they were dangerous, and things have gotten more complex and dangerous since then because there's been no opposition. There have been no regulatory barriers to stop the type of financial instruments and financial pillaging that's been going on. It's only gotten worse. But now there's a pretense that it's better. There's a pretense there's financial reform. Stock markets are back up, as we just mentioned, and so forth. So I don't think that gets better. I don't think that changes people's individual economies. I think it's going to get a lot worse, therefore, before it gets better, because after all of what we saw in 2008 globally, after banking systems throughout the world, particularly ours, we're looking at bankruptcy and we're looking at potential collapse and an ability to fund themselves, they all got better. They all got government injections, but the individuals, people in the various countries did not. And that will create a more unstable, less equal set of economies between the banking economy and the people's economy for the foreseeable future. So I just see it, unfortunately, getting worse. I wish I saw it different.
Well, I tend to agree with you, unfortunately. Nomi Prinz, stay there. We're going to do 5 more minutes with you on the other side.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.